Welcome to Dandelions, a podcast for women. I'm Molly Snyder, and we are back to talk about all sorts of fun, female, unconventional things that happen to us in this new year of 2020. Are you ready, Julie?
I'm ready. Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Should we remind people why we're called Dandelions? It's been a while.
You know, we should.
I really like to, like,
we should
beat that one, like, right over the
head. Speaking of beating just, dandelions
yeah,
down.
Just you can't beat down dandelions.
Nope. That's they're the like thing. Cockroaches.
We pop. Okay, if women are like dandelions, you can stomp on us. You can try to poison us. But we're just going to.
But please don't.
We'd rather you didn't. But if you did, we're going to pop the fuck right up back in your yard.
Absolutely. And I know
week
from experience.
After week they're after back. Week, right?
They're back.
They're also really cute and bright and resilient and hardy. And I love dandelions. And I want to surround myself by women who are dandelions. And as well as we've said before, mandelions.
We do have some mandelions.
We do have mandelions. And we wanted to have dandelions and mandelions are the only people who we want in our bouquet of life.
Absolutely.
Terrible.
Absolutely. That and we always
awful.
Have dandelions.
I'm sorry.
We always have, we always have dandelions on the table too, which is great. You always bring a vase of dandelions, which kind of reminds us of the beauty. And I never really thought how beautiful dandelions were. And when you came up with the name and shared it at first, I thought, oh, how am I going to get her off of this? And then I thought about it. And I was like, you're right. They don't go away. They are not unattractive. We've decided from a marketing standpoint that we need to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And you can pay a lot of money. I'm here to tell you, they do come back. And so you can pay a lot of money to get rid of us. But guess what, suckers?
Right.
We're not going anywhere either.
We're not. So, and here we are again.
Yeah. Yep.
We are going to talk about something this time that I'm super excited about. And it's around unconventional celebrations. People are obviously very used to celebrating birthdays, going to weddings, anniversaries, baby showers, and really doing anything that's been said by society is socially acceptable to celebrate. But Julie and I are excited to explore celebrations that people have had for themselves or are going to have for themselves that are catered to the high points of their own lives. Because oftentimes our experiences don't fall into these categories of baby shower or wedding. And what happens then? We don't get to have a party? Not true. So we have some really fun guests here. First of all, though, I'm going to ask you, Julie, have you ever celebrated anything unconventional? Are you an unconventional celebrator of anything?
It was probably illegal, so I'm not going to say it. You know, when we were talking about this the last couple of days, there's something, to answer your question, I want to say I have not, but I'm working through something right now, and that is menopause. Mm. And I know you're thinking, are you really going to talk about that briefly? Oprah had an article that my doctor was just all over saying, why are we so down and out about this? This is actually, in a way, kind of a rebirth.
No pun intended.
It's another chapter, and you can be relieved of all of these things that may have brought you literal physical pain, mm-hmm. emotional pain, and stress. And also, you don't have to have use protection when you have sex. So, what better thing to celebrate than that? So, I'm trying to really get my head straight and say, yeah, this is kind of a beautiful thing. Where some people are just they're more absorbed with all of the physical symptoms they might be having.
But would you have a party? Would you have like a meno party?
Will there be gifts?
There could be. I mean, when I was doing like research on this and I kept coming up with these period parties where this is very much more common. I never heard of this when I got my period when I was 13 or whatever. But now it's very much more common where women will have a period party for the younger women in their lives and will literally make very red frosting, red velvet cakes and topped with, you know, tampons and, you know, give gifts of, I don't know.
Ibuprofen.
Exactly. Yes.
I think I would. I hadn't really thought about having an actual party, but I think there are so many people within my in my personal sphere who are going through something similar, people slightly younger, people older. And I mean, I think it would be hilarious, you know, and people can feel free to come and, you know, you got a hot flash, just take off your shirt. You know, I'm not going to judge, you know. I do think it's something to celebrate, but I hadn't really been thinking about that until the last couple of weeks when I spoke with my physician and she said, no, this is a glorious thing. You still have years ahead of you and there's things that you have earned and gotten through mm-hmm. and you should celebrate mm-hmm. this next mm-hmm. phase. So
absolutely.
I think we should see if we can get okay. a little menno party. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that could definitely be something that we could work on. I'd definitely talk about in greater depth down the road.
Yeah.
For now, I'm just going to bring it back to me and tell you.
What have you said? Because I know you're always about non-traditional things,
yes,
right?
But coming up, I'm very excited. I'm having a 2-year-old birthday party for my chihuahua.
I love her.
Frankie. I love you, Frankie. I love you so much. I'm crying just thinking about your little face.
If you don't know Frankie, you really are missing out.
Like, but she is going to be 2 on 2/22. And so I have to throw her a huge birthday party, obviously. And so I have had a great time putting all the pieces together. Just this weekend, I made the soundtrack, Spotify soundtrack, and I've bought her the dress. I've got the party invitations sent out, of course, long ago, but all the decorations and the menu, and I'm going all the way. And the thing about this that I know that this is like, I'm the chihuahua lady, and I know all of the implications and all of the stereotypes around that. And I don't care. Like, it's not even so much that I'm embracing it. It just is the way it is, and I'm going for it. And I yet at the same time am on the outside of it looking in and saying, I know this is ridiculous. But you know what? This is bringing me great joy because sometimes things that are really ridiculous bring me great joy. And so I'm going all the way with this. And I'm throwing a party. No, paw, P-A-W-T.
A party.
I'm throwing a party. But that's one of, yes, many things that I celebrate in that are not traditional. You, Julie, are adopted. I have an adopted son. And one of the things that we do is we celebrate the day that he was adopted.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And it's very common in the world of adoption where some people yeah. call it your gotcha day
right.
or your adoption day. My son was born in Guatemala City, which is where I went to adopt him from. And so I've always called it our Guataversary. And so we celebrated on April 24th is our Guataversary, and that's when I legally adopted my son in Guatemala City in 2004. He was 9 months old at the time. So
I think that's a great idea.
I really love it. I mean, when you're adopted, it's one of those things that you want to celebrate it, but you don't want to over celebrate it,
right.
especially in my situation. I have a biological child and I have an adopted child. So it's like you don't want either of them to feel like their situation is any more or less special than the other one. I tended early on to go slightly overboard with some of the celebrating of Kai's Latino heritage to the point that I think I had to like remind my kid that when he was 5 that he's not Guatemalan, he's German and Italian. But, you know, it's like, whoops, like overfocus. But, you know, it is always like a giving and trying to celebrate all of their
absolutely,
you know, all of their heritages. And that's been something that I've really enjoyed in parenting. So segueing into parenting, we have two guests here today, and both of these women had interesting celebrations after making unconventional and strong, fierce choices for themselves. Our first guest is Lisa Praber. And she is going to tell us a little bit more of her story, but she will start by saying you are pregnant. How pregnant are you?
I'm fairly pregnant. 31 weeks. I'm due in 9.
Okay.
So it's happening.
It's happening, yes. So tell us about your journey to pregnancy, and I hear there was a sperm party involved.
Why wouldn't Ooh. There be?
Exactly.
I've always wanted kids. It's number one, been on my list. Started off by getting married really nice and young because that's in my family's conservative nature, how you get a baby. Married and divorced pretty quickly, tumultuous relationship after that, nice little, you know, break for a while. And I lived in Arizona during this time and had a guy follow me here to Wisconsin from Arizona. And that didn't work either. And then I was 34 and I was further away from having a kid than I cared to be at that age. So I went to the doctor and I said, tell me a little bit about having a kid by myself. And she said, oh, fun. Let's look at sperm donors. And I was like, oh, cool.
Kind of like paint swatches?
Basically, she pulls up this Excel spreadsheet and she's like, oh, look, this guy has a black belt. And she goes, oh, and this one says he looks like Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, this can't be scientific. And I'm guessing he doesn't. But she just made it feel, I'm a extroverted extrovert and not afraid to share with people, but that was a very vulnerable moment in my life to actually ask about making it happen. And she made it feel exactly how I'd want it to feel, like normal and exciting. And so I said I'd give myself a year, and I took about 6 months and tried dating pretty hardcore and had some hardcore strikeouts. And it was, you know, I couldn't get laid to save my life. So even if I wanted it to happen the old-fashioned way, it wasn't going to. So then I decided I was going to do it and started researching sperm donors and asking a ton of questions and, you know, got some really, really good advice on how to narrow it down. But I'm, again, an extroverted extrovert, so I wanted my family and friends to be part of the solution. So I said I was going to throw a sperm party and let them pick.
Oh, there was, wow.
There was a lot of options, thousands, in fact. So it was like online dating, but you couldn't just swipe. You had to kind of dive deep into those family histories and blah, blah, blah. So it was exhausting. I hated it.
How long was the party?
Oh, God, no. Years. No.
I mean, how did you, like, telemarket or, like,
yeah,
how,
was
how
there, like, you pin the tail on the sperm?
There was pin the sperm on the ovary. So I actually knew in my head, I knew what the party looked like before it happened. How the people would pick the sperm donor, I didn't know because I still hadn't narrowed it down. So I'll put the chicken before the egg in this situation for you. So how I ended up narrowing down a sperm donor was, I gathered information from people giving me best practices because there's nothing out there that's hard and fast about how to pick a sperm donor. And it's not just single women like myself that want to have kids. It's male infertility is a huge thing right now. And a lot of people that are in a relationship have to choose a sperm donor. You know, same sex couples have to choose a sperm donor. And how do you do that? So I ended up feeling really confident in how to do it based on some feedback. I wrote a blog post about it. But I emailed the Seattle Sperm Bank. That's who I picked. They had the best reviews. There's like 12 big banks through the United States.
On Yelp?
Basically. Yeah, Google reviews had the best reviews. Okay. I mean, it sounds silly, but like,
no, I love it. Yeah, that's weird.
How are you going to pick your doctor, right? You look at the best reviews. So.
How did people pick before? I mean, this is so great. You have all this information.
Yeah. So Seattle's like a good hub.
Well, and like I said, the doctor was showing me this Excel spreadsheet. That was the Midwest Sperm Bank. It was, I mean,
oh no,
it was an Excel spreadsheet where the guys were like, I look like Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, this is not, no, this doesn't feel right. So, the reason I chose Seattle is because they did a really great job vetting the sperm. So, they had genetic testing, full audio interviews, full medical documents. They really did a great job. You know,
it's those techies out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Seattle. Yeah. And I actually wanted to make sure my sperm donor came kind of from far away. Just because this is not something that is going away. And when my child gets old enough to start dating, I just would like to set them up for a little bit of success because it'll be a little harder for them to vet potential partners to make sure that they find out their partner's story. So because they'll probably have a lot of siblings that they don't know about. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I had to process through this, but I emailed Seattle Sperm Bank and I said, I need a donor that's blood type goes with mine, complements mine, because that lowers the risk of miscarriage. I did a process called IUI, so you only get 2 or 3 shots at it because, you know, it's a lot of drugs in your system. So blood type goes well with mine. They had no genetic preconditions, which means that I didn't have to do that genetic testing because you need 2 to tango. and then that had already had a live pregnancy. There's a ton of sperm donors out there that haven't had that live pregnancy yet, and so I wanted to make sure their sperm worked if I was only going to get a few tries.
Is there a different cost?
No.
No. Okay.
No. It's just not something people tell you.
Right. You have to know the right questions to ask.
Yeah. And I was grateful enough to be so public about this to ask. I think there's a lot of people that are going through it right now, that even friends of mine that after I went public with this, they're like, oh my God, how did you, and they didn't know. And there's people, I mean, I have friends that have reservoirs of sperm that they bought from a sperm donor that didn't have a live pregnancy yet and it hasn't been working for them. And I get kind of sad thinking, I wonder if it will ever work, because that's not something that, yeah, you know, they go through. So that narrowed my thousands of options down to 8. So then I needed to narrow it down again. And I had no racial requirements. I had no hair color, eye color.
Really?
I had no requirements except for a healthy baby. So that's why I picked the 3 things to narrow it down. So then I was down to 8 and I needed to narrow it down again. So I was like, single parent, scholarships. Okay, 6 foot or taller, smart and athletic. So that's how I narrowed it down to the bottom 3 choices. And those are the men that I put up for my friends to, you know, pick. But my cycle ended up where I needed to kind of go for it. So I ended up having to pick from the 3 myself. So it turned into a guess which sperm donor I chose, because I did get inseminated the day before. And so from my 3, 1 was out of stock.
Oh, wait, what?
Uh-huh.
Like, wait, what do you mean?
Killian was out of stock. So he had no samples. And I couldn't wait. I needed it overnighted.
Like, he had no sperm?
No,
well, no, was very, available.
He was a popular donor, so he hadn't made a deposit in quite some time.
Equals no sperm.
Yeah.
Well, okay. No,
at that moment.
He had sperm. He just didn't.
He sold out. He sold out. He was a popular donor choice. Killian was the one everybody wanted. But there was 2 other great options. Raj, he came from a long line of doctors. That was one of my options. I really liked that choice. And then Eric was the other one. Eric plays the drums, commercial real estate broker. You know, I listened to their audio interviews, and I made it completely irrational, if you don't live in Wisconsin, but completely rational if you live in Wisconsin, decision between the two, because you do get to see baby pictures. And one of Eric's baby pictures features him in a Packer shirt.
Well.
Wow.
So as we know, being a Packer fan runs in your blood. So I'm just really trying to set that kid up for success.
He's got
to
like cheese or be a Packer fan. Yeah. So both, so maybe.
That's how I chose.
So Eric it was.
Eric it was. So my friend's guest at the party, we played pin the sperm on the ovary. Mm-hmm. I did live minnow races. So went to Home Depot, made some gutters, had some lanes, live minnows. I had sperm bag toss. So 2 of my good friends painted vaginas on bag boards, their own version of a vagina. So one of my friends is super technical, detail-oriented. Hers is very trim, very anatomically correct, and the other one's more of a Georgia O'Keeffe type vagina. And then a friend of mine sewed bags that were sperm with tail. So
you did some that. Really good friends. Yep. And fun friends. Yep. I gotta say,
everybody contributed. We did the dollar donor dance. So a friend of mine made silhouettes of the 3 guys, put the underwear on them, and then like you would vote with a dollar. And then I really struggled picking a location until Balzac begged me to do it there.
Oh, my.
Because Balzac.
Right.
And they did such a beautiful job hosting their menu. They curated a special menu for the event that was completely ball-based. So spicy balls, big balls, small sack and cheese. The signature drink was the Jizz Fizz.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. You know what? We need to be invited to one of these.
Yeah, no, the signature shot.
Maybe her second kid.
Could you do this again? Right, just for us?
Why not? Right. Yeah. The second, the signature shot was the cum shot.
All right. We're still there.
But it was very classy and beautiful. And you know, I want my child to know someday, because I am a very vocal person, and that's something they'll have to deal with. I want them to know that this is a celebration that everybody was with and enjoying. And, you know, I did go to media with it. A friend of mine asked me if I would go to media with it. And my initial reaction is absolutely. And she said, slow down. You don't just say that. Like, think of your child's future. Think of what your family would think. And also call your job and make sure they're cool with it. So I called my company, and they're a very large global organization, and talked to the highest up person I could. And she said, please go to media for it. I mean,
notice mm-hmm. it's a she. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
That's awesome. You got that kind of support.
She said she would throw herself on, you know, the line if I had any repercussions, because it, you know, it could have blew up into a big story because it was being covered. The family thing was a little bit tougher because mm-hmm. I am from a conservative mm-hmm. family, but my mom showed up and made sperm cookies, and they were everybody's party gift, and it said, thanks for coming. CUMMING. So,
God love your mom.
I know.
She's the best.
I have so many questions for you, but I'm going to narrow it down to three.
Okay.
So the Raj Fair. Question, the killing question. No, these are just totally independent. First of all, I mean, do you have any contact with Eric at all? Like, does he have the option to know the child, or is that all legally taken care of prior that he will not? Or let's say your child wanted to, will he or she be able to contact him and they could meet up someday? I mean, what is the contact agreement?
Yeah, so almost all sperm donations and adoptions nowadays are open. And probably the reason is because you're going to find them anyway with social media,
absolutely,
DNA testing, and, you know, just technology.
Well, and it's the healthiest choice for the child.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep. And so
it makes it less stigmatized, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. So when they do turn 18, they can go find them if they'd like. And, you okay. know, I think they may or may not want to. And they're, like you said, health reasons, they absolutely, you know, if they have kids and one of their kids has, you know, needs a new kidney, wouldn't it be great for them to contact their siblings? And mm-hmm. they have 40 siblings, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. They're going to have siblings. There's already been a live pregnancy. So I want them to have that option anyway. But you mm-hmm. can't find a closed donation unless you ask a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that point, I think that's a lot of crossed wires. And I really wanted there to be no strings
mm-hmm.
with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know if your baby's a boy or a girl?
I'm going to be surprised.
Nice.
To the right audience, I say, oh, I'm going to let it choose its own gender.
As you should.
Is this the right audience?
This is exactly Absolutely. The right audience. So there was a sperm party, but there was no gender reveal party, is what
no.
you're saying.
Yes. Nope. Uh-uh. I've actually had a couple baby showers already that have been wild celebrations with all my tribe, which has been... Nice. You know, trying to outdrink each other, my Arizona shower, my Milwaukee shower. The support's been amazing. And I'm not someone that likes to ask for help, but I'm so grateful to know so many people care and that the baby already has this mm-hmm. big family because they only have one side mm-hmm. To grow up with for mm-hmm. blood relatives. So
love, not blood.
Mm-hmm. Families come in all different shapes and sizes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. So what has been one of the biggest challenges being pregnant without a partner? Is it something as small as like, I don't know, I'm thinking about back when I was pregnant. I'm divorced now, but I was married at the time. You know, having someone run out and buy me food was like something I really enjoyed. Is there any moments like that where you're like, or does it just, you just don't really think that way because you're living it. You're just living it.
Okay. So this is terrible because I feel better than I've ever felt in my entire life.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've had more men want to date me, make out with me, whatever, while I've been pregnant than I've ever had in my life. In fact, I'm 7.5 months pregnant right now. You know I'm pregnant. You can see there's a large lump here. I went on a date 2 weeks ago. I was sitting at the bar with a girlfriend, camp bar, and it was dark, and this guy and his friend sat down at her table, and he said, we talked for a couple hours. He's like, I want to take you on a date. And I said, how about you Google my name and then let me know if you still want to take me on a date? And he's like, what could I possibly find? And I'm like, just Google it. And next morning, he's like, where should we go? And I'm like, did you Google me? He goes, yeah, I have some questions, but I still want to take you out. And I was like, great. So we showed up and just like this. And
well, and if memory serves, third trimester pregnancy, I was super horny all the time. I don't remember.
So that's my biggest problem. It's been being horny. Terrible.
Yes.
So not just horny, but I think there's been a couple moments where I've been wildly lonely. And not because, and my friends would be like, no, you could call me any second, but they know it's not the same. I think when I felt the baby move for the first time and I looked over on the sofa next to my dog Sushi and I was like, oh, look, oh, you don't care. Okay. You know, that was a little bit hard. Mm-hmm. But then I watch, you know, a couple fighting over blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do I like that rug? Yeah, I like that rug. So I've never, I mean, I feel like completely stress-free. Yeah. And
there
I,
is that.
But I don't want to feel too much that way because I do want to meet somebody and I want this child to have a father figure. Mm-hmm. I might be labeled as a feminist because of the journey that I've taken, but I still really believe in, you know, there's a partner out there for me that will be a great father to this child. But I just didn't want to rush that process by checking this box to find a dude who was, you know, just a
dude.
Put some sperm in there, you know? So I let three women watch and one of them fill me with a syringe. So that was
who watched?
What went instead. The first time was my doctor, a nurse and a learning doctor.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't, you didn't, it wasn't like you had friends.
Like,
it wasn't,
well, part, no, wasn't part I did of the this, celebration. So the first time didn't work. I was okay. In a cold, dark, windowless room and, you know, three medical professionals did it. So the first time it didn't work. The second time my sister-in-law said, you are absolutely not going alone. This is crazy. So she brought her two daughters, three and one, and three medical professionals, her and the kids were in the room. They obviously weren't in the spot where they could see what was going on, but it was more of like a, you know, your cousins mm-hmm. were there when you were made kind mm-hmm. of thing. So I have a really supportive sister-in-law and brother that have been just, I can't even put into words how supportive they've been, and mm-hmm. I can't. That's all I can say on that. So, and it worked. Mm-hmm. So
that's fabulous. Really.
As someone who was married and had kids with the person who wasn't right for me, and I can just honestly say I am so proud of you, and I am so happy and in awe that you had the courage to make that decision. Because when I was going through the motions of being married and having kids, I knew deep down that it wasn't the right person. And that is incredibly lonely too. So incredibly. So I just feel like, wow, like if I would have met you 20 years ago, and you know how it is now, I wouldn't trade my kids for the world, blah, 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 blah. But you know, in the end, it's like, I still just, it's so easy to just fall into, just settle for something. We always hear that word, but it's true. It's so easy to do.
Yeah. And nowadays, too, with dating, you know, your online dating, everyone has kids my age. You know, every guy has kids and he doesn't want any more. Or mm-hmm. he's meeting girls mm-hmm. that already mm-hmm. have kids. So mm-hmm. what does it matter if I have a kid? I'm at least the one that doesn't have any baggage. I don't have a shitty dude that I have to, sorry, we can't go on vacation this week because XYZ is being an asshole. So, I mean, I'm like kind of a golden goose for dating
true story
right now.
For many of us, that is a true story.
And yes. They get to be like, if they do so choose, they get to be the parent. And, and I think that I'm excited for that. And if I never meet anybody, then they'll never experience anything in my house but love. Mm-hmm. They won't see fighting. They won't see divorce. Mm-hmm. They won't see any of that. Mm-hmm. I can, mm-hmm. you know, illuminate some childhood trauma that shows up in that kind of situation.
And I certainly don't want to say anything that sounds flip, but I just, because again, of my experiences, I just keep thinking, and you get to pick the name and you don't have to agree on a name. Because I felt like that was so hard. And in the end, to this day, I feel like I love both my sons' names. But the thing is that neither of them were my first choice. Mm-hmm. Neither of them were what and in my mind, there's one name that never got thrown into the mix. My oldest son has three names. My second son has two names. And there's one name that my ex-husband was just absolutely against. And to me, that name just rolls around in my mind forever, is like sort of
so sad.
Yeah. Like, I just wish I had, and I can't even name a dog that or anything, because that's like my unborn, never to be born child or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I really am excited for you to get to
pick the name.
And
it's interesting you say that too, because when I was in second grade, I remember my teacher telling us to go home and find out where our names came from and what they mean. And I remember going home and being like, "Mom, what does my name mean?" And she's like, "Nothing. I loved it. I just thought it was good." And going to school the next day and being like, everybody's telling this special story and being so sad. And then I lied to the teacher. And I was like, well, it's the nurse who helped deliver me, you know, just because I wanted that story. So yeah. I have a boy name picked out and a girl name picked out, and they're my grandparents' names and my grandparents. And I like fought both of my brothers that they couldn't name their kids those names because I wanted them. So now I have the chance to do that. And it's very special. So I feel bad that you didn't get to have your name.
And my name was a family name too, but
I always actually for a boy in my head, would always be a junior. So you know, I do hope that I meet somebody and can have more kids because I'd love to give a man that experience too, to have their namesake. Mm-hmm. Yes. I always thought about that. Mm-hmm. So you know, whatever happens, happens.
So it won't be Elisa Junior.
Oh my God, I'm so narcissistic that could be a choice, but
stay tuned.
Right. Maybe girl number two. Who knows? I'm not narcissistic. I'm just saying that's something I would do to be funny.
Right. Yeah. I know someone that has, she was single. She's now since been married, but for years she was single, and both she and her dog had the same name. So I thought
that.
Yeah. And it was, Katie and Katie. I thought that was really cute. But
okay, well, don't give me ideas, right? Because now that will be my next dog's name. Right. Oh my God, that's awesome.
And yeah, just people are like, "What's your name?" And she met guys at the dog park all the time on top of it. So it was like, they thought that she was somehow confused when they asked, I know what your name is, Katie. What's Katie? The dog's name's Katie, too. Yes.
Oh, I love that.
I do, too.
In the elevator in my building, when people say, "Oh, she's so cute," I say something nice about my dog, too.
Well, we are just in awe and in love with your story,
Thank you.
And we're going to now flip things all the way over onto their heads and talk to Ellie Bradish, who is here with us, and she had a non-traditional celebration that was, in some ways, the opposite of a sperm party. Ellie, you had
an unbaby shower, or my friends also referred to it as a sterilization celebration. gotta love the rhyming, but my husband and I decided a long time ago that we didn't want to have kids, and, you know, we're good with it. And I was out to brunch, but, you know, I was always on birth control, you know, handling that part of it. And maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we started talking about how nice it would be if I could go off of that and he could get a vasectomy, and he was all for it. He would have done it ages ago. I was probably the one who was like, wait, that's like a procedure, you know, we don't need to involve that. But he was all for it. And I told my friends at brunch one day, that he was going to have the snip, and they sort of surprised me. I didn't really think much of it, but they all were really excited for me. And, they came up with the idea of throwing me an unbaby shower, 'cause I'm not going to have a baby shower ever. So, and we're all, we love the idea of, you know, any excuse to have a party, let's do it and celebrate. So, they planned this whole thing, and it was a big surprise, and we had some fun games, too. We did one of my friends printed out a big poster of the statue of David, you know, so we had like a pin the sharp implement on David. and you know, jars of like, you know, count how many balls are in the jar and you win a prize. And my friends didn't know really what, maybe more so the ones who are attending. They're like, no one's done this before. We don't know what to do. But they all came up with really great, fun games. And also they got gifts for us, like things that were breakable, sharp, had swears on it. It was like perfect, you know, like
kid-friendly gifts.
What else do you need?
So give me an example of some of these. What did they give you?
Some really fancy, beautiful wine glasses, very delicate antiques, and I got a set of small steak knives.
Oh yes, you did.
I got some mugs that say "Good morning, asshole." a lot of funny cards. And then the cake, you know, said, you know, sterilization celebration, and they had lots of fun foods like meatballs and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was really fun. And my friends surprised me with that, like that whole thing. And I really appreciated it because I would love, and, you know, it's not that it was a hard decision. We knew that we didn't want to have kids, but I definitely felt like, you know, that's not what my family wanted.
Right.
They want me to have babies, but I just never felt like it. So, it was nice to feel that, like, you know, acceptance and excitement about it.
Being married and being of childbearing years, and it, even though it's been 2019 or 2020 or where, you know, wherever we've been the last few years, do you still get people who rudely ask you if you're planning to have kids or why you don't have kids? Or, I mean, especially because you're married and you guys have a house, you know, we talked earlier before the show, you know, and it just seems like you guys are just building up everything, getting ready for the next step. Do you find that people are that ask you that sort of thing, or want to, maybe they try to hint at it, or?
Well, you know,
at work, or
yes, yeah. Right, yeah, at work. In most of my life, I'm in a happy little bubble, and all of my friends love it and get it. And a lot of my friends also don't want children. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do have children, and you know, we all, you know, celebrate everybody's decisions. But you know, people who don't really know me, you know, will have said things like, people have asked me if I am pregnant, which I think is really rude. And
that's like, no.
Is it because you were not drinking at an event or something?
No, it was at work. Oh, it was at work.
Okay.
I don't know if they thought, like, it sure seems time for you to, you know, be cooking something in there. I don't know.
Jesus.
But,
wow.
And then, you know, when people bring, there was this other woman who, you know, asked me, or we were making comments about babies, and I mentioned, you know, like, oh, no, not for me or whatever. And she's like, oh, you'll probably change your mind. And I was like, well, nope. I mean, at the time I was like, well, no, I'm 38, so I'm not going to. And she's like, oh, okay. Like, right. I don't know. Yeah. So I've actually been really lucky. I haven't had a lot of people really ask about it. So
that's which good. Is interesting. People tend to overstep a lot.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised. Like, that's just so personal.
Yeah.
You're talking about how your friends were very accepting and welcoming to this choice. Your family, if I can ask, your immediate family, have they come to?
It's just me and my sister and then my parents. So my sister knows, very supportive of everything. I think now my parents know that we're not going to have kids, but for a while there were questions. And my sister, maybe fortunately for me, unfortunately maybe for her, she was sort of like the middleman with my mom. And so my mom, I think, we don't always talk about things outright. So my mom would, I know my sister told me, mom was like, are they really not going to have kids? And my sister was like, yeah, they're not.
But she's in kind of like a loud whisper, too, probably.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's sort of like, you know, an unspoken thing. And I'm really lucky because my sister has two awesome kids. So it's like takes the pressure off a little bit.
It definitely does. And, you know, that's another thing is people might also assume that you don't like kids.
Right.
And that's really unfair too.
Right, right.
Because you can make a choice not to have kids. And I'm sensing that you, it's not that you hate kids.
No.
It's that you just don't want them for yourself.
Exactly, exactly. I love my nephews. I love my friends' kids and babies. And, but I just don't want that for me. I don't feel like I'm a very loving person, but I don't feel like I'm very maternal. I don't know. I don't know if that's, you know.
And I'm just going to put this out there. There are plenty of people who have kids who don't like kids.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm serious. Like, they've had kids and it's like, you're a really horrible parent. You know?
And not to freak you out, but being pregnant, Lisa, but, and you also don't really know until you have the kid, like how you really feel about being a parent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like one of those things. Every parent experiences this. Just because it's not like it pops out of you and you are like, on some level,
Instamom.
You love it, of course, but it's not, no, it's a relationship. It grows. It takes time for you to really love this being. Yes, you're not Instamom.
And a lot of times you don't know what you're doing.
No.
So, most times.
Yeah.
Not at all, but you figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. So, but that's really great. Really great to hear that, you know, you were able to identify that and also that you had a partner that you both felt the same way.
That's
yes.
Huge.
I feel like I got huge lucky with that because we were both on the same page from the beginning about that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
And I think, you know, like I think people should try not to live with like the shoulds. I should do this. I should do that. And I really feel lucky that I live in a time with a lot of support where I can make that decision. And I, you know, it seems like in maybe previous generations or maybe people still feel like what you should do is when you are an adult, you should get married and you should have kids. That's just what you do. That's just what people do. But if you don't feel it, you shouldn't do it.
Right.
Don't
it's
do it.
It's not like buying a pair of shoes. It's a little more intense than buying shoes.
Yeah. Well, and none of these things are real. Like they're adages, if anything. They're things that people say. It's like I, you know, have two kids now that you know, they're from a quote broken family. So what does that mean? Like they're gonna obviously get in lots of trouble as teenagers. Well, they didn't. I'm knocking on wood, but you know, we're looking at colleges. They didn't, you know, they're straight edge. I didn't choose that for them. You know, one of them's a 4.0 student. One of them is close to that. It's like they're extremely, extremely focused, well-balanced human beings. And, you know, guess what? Their dad lives in another state, you know? Yeah. And it's like these things, there is no formula.
Right.
And there's a part of me that even was raising them and I didn't realize it now until they're older. And I'm taking like a sigh of relief, like, oh, thank God this didn't happen. Cause there was a part of me that I realized I was carrying this too. And I was deep down thinking like somehow not have been divorced from their father, especially with two boys, that somehow I was fucking them up.
Mm-hmm.
And just to finally realize, and now I feel sort of sad for the me 10 years ago because I wish the me now could tell the 10 years ago me it's going to be okay and you don't have to worry about that. And I feel like the two of you are already have all this coming out of you where, you know, I had a lot of insecurities about what I was doing when I was doing it, even though I did make these choices because I too believed that something was right that I needed to do for me that other people didn't understand.
It just amazes me that so many people overstep though and why is it so bad that they want you to have a child? Then they should have a child or they should go adopt a child.
Yeah.
And I honestly have gotten some of the best parenting advice from my friends who don't have children. I don't know if it's because they get more sleep or they just, you know, they've removed themselves from the situation and they can see more clearly.
Yeah.
But some people that I know who do not have children have been the best nurturers, who have been the best educators and just have some really solid advice. So I think there's other ways you can contribute if that is what you want. But if you don't, So be it. I mean, you're not in prison and you look like you're, you know, not a stalker and living a good life. It's interesting that people say you should have kids. You know, you date somebody, when are you going to get married? You get married, when are you going to have kids? When you have another kid? Oh, now you're divorced. Now your kids are missed. You know, so it's interesting.
Or me and you with the two boys, I got so many times like, oh, I bet you wish you had a girl. Are you going to try for a girl? Are you going to go for a girl? And I was like, no.
Yeah. Like I got that quite a bit. I'm the only girl in my family. So five older brothers and then me. And so people were saying, oh, then you're going to have a girl. I was a horrible child. Are you kidding? there's no way. And I met someone who said, don't fall for that. She said, we have three kids. The first two are boys. We do have a daughter. Of course we love her. And she's the most difficult one. So yeah. People just, the unsolicited peanut gallery
right.
stuff. And I think we all are tempted to say things, but you know what? Just shut up, think before you speak.
Exactly.
Which is not something I'm good at, but I'm working on it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all working on a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
we'll get there.
We will. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we don't
absolutely.
Need a formula for it. So.
No, yeah. Do not. This has been a really, really fun and interesting conversation. And I've just, my ears are just like so happy from these stories.
She's smiling.
And my face is smiling because I just, I love how honest and truthful and just how not only that you were able to tell your stories so honestly and truthfully, but again, how you're living your lives that way. And that's what I want. That's the only thing I want for my children is yeah. that they live their life authentically. And I always say to them, show me who you are and I will support you. Mm-hmm. And I just don't ever want anyone to walk through life and feel that they have to be pretend to be someone they're not.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here. That's my purpose. And it's for me to tell my truth and to hear others. And I just really, really loved your stories. I cannot wait to find out if you have a boy or a girl,
yes,
what
yes.
his names are.
And I want to be invited to a party like that,
I just,
too.
I'm just so excited for you. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to be a kick-ass mom.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
No, I feel it. I feel it in my heart. I know you are. So,
yeah.
And Ellie, your story has just been really great too. It just I'm gonna laugh to myself about the knives and
right?
the breakable
knives will never look the same again ever.
One time my kids, I know we're gonna close this out here, but real quickly, one time my kids went to a birthday party and in the goodie bag, I think that the mother must have like she's a great, she's a friend, a good mom. She had like a momentary lapse of reason, but each kid had a Sharpie marker in the goodie bag. And I was like, that's almost like passive aggressively mean because a Sharpie marker in the hands of your child is one of the things that you fear the most after illness. You know,
it's permanent.
It's a permanent marker. Right?
Yeah. So that's odd.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that's odd.
And if I were ever going to be invited to a sterilization celebration, I would bring that big pack of Sharpie markers.
I love that idea.
Colors.
Yes. Yeah, right? That's great. That's a great idea.
So someone out there invite me to one and that big pack of Sharpie markers.
Yes. Invite me too. Yes. I love it.
We want to come to your parties. But hopefully, if nothing else, this show also brings to light that celebrate what is authentically you. It's okay if there's not a card, a Hallmark card for the occasion. Then you create the damn card and the occasion and the party. So thanks for, these are very personal stories, but I can assure you that there are other people who will be helped and enlightened by this. So thanks for being brave and dandelion-ish.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you.
Anyone that wants to respond to this story or has an idea for an upcoming episode, please drop us a line. We are dandelions@onmilwaukee.com. Quick shout out to On Milwaukee for
being the
sponsor of this podcast and to Go Get It Media. We've on our sixth episode, and
there's Alex over there
going strong.
Thank you, Alex, to our producer, sound guy, engineer, anything.
He dabbed.
He did. It was like a little mini dab.
He did, and he does a really good job of making us sound good. So thank you, Alex.
So for everyone else out there, we will talk to you 1 month from today, ish.
Absolutely ish. Outro music, please. We don't own the rights to the music, actually. Molly does own the rights to this music. That's for another show.
Right.